Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office Overtime.
So I thought we'd talk about why it's so hard to take actions when you want to leave your job, you want to find a new job. And I see this consistently. It's not like one client. It's pretty much across the board.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing to do to start a job search.
Yes.
And then stay consistent with it. Obviously, if you're fired or you become downsized, it's a lot easier because you have no choice. But if you have a job and you just don't like the job, or you don't like the people you're working with, or all that stuff, what's going to get you to, put an extra 2 hours into your day?
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought we could talk about that, because I think you probably have some good insight, Catherine, into...
I have amazing insight into this.
I think you do. I mean, I know what the steps are. And I'm always saying to people, you should be job searching all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or marketing yourself all the time, because you just never know. And you should always be having opportunities come your way. But most people don't do that. Most people have a job, they love it, or, they deal with it.
Yeah. I think that the three things that I think stop people from taking action. One is that even if they hate their job, they may feel secure in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The other is fear of the unknown, not trusting that there's something better out there for them. And then the third is actually low self-confidence and self-esteem as a result of being in a job that you feel horrible in.
Right.
And I'll say, I actually think that third one is the in some ways the largest factor for many people, that it's almost like the battered wife syndrome, as they say, where you're used to, even though you when someone talks to me or to you about it, they're not saying, oh, I'm horrible and that's why I'm having a hard time in the job. They're probably arguing about what's unjust and, why things aren't to their liking. But usually behind that is a fear that there's something wrong with me. And this is the only place that will take me.
Ugh. I know people stay in marriages for the same reason.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
It's the best that I can do is often the feeling. And so that's where, Kathy, what you were talking about, that need to be in action and to be actually breaking out of an insular environment becomes so much more important.
Yeah, I'm just thinking somebody, one of our clients, she's an employee of the company, and I think things may change for her because her boss is retired, so things may change. And I think she is probably not job searching because she's really got it made. She can take as much time off as she wants. I think if you have really great perks, that could really...
Good perks and a high salary.
Right.
You can't imagine that someone will pay you that same or more equivalent or more.
Well, know how to get away with certain things. You know how to come in late. You know how to, work from home, and you can get away with that.
Yeah.
Right. whatever your comfort zone is. And I think that is very, very difficult to say, oh, but if I go somewhere else, I'm going to have to be, extra. I'm going to have to work extra hard.
Right. You'd have to prove yourself again.
Right.
And the fear often, and I think that's an interesting point too. It's like the devil you know, in the sense that you know how to work this system. And you can justify the things that you do in part because you don't like your job, or you don't like your boss, or you have a problem with administration. So then that sort of supports doing a few renegade things, which you can get away with because you're so secure there.
So it's
a very tricky thing. And I think it's also, it's a very scary thing to go outside and to become known, to be seen, because finding a new job requires higher visibility, right? So In my experience, selling
yourself too.
Selling yourself, making connections, having someone want you, want what you have to bring, and being able to talk about what you have to bring, which is another thing that I think it's very rusty, is the ability to describe your qualities and your achievements. And I know that's something, Kathy, that you really help people with, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course, you become kind of desensitized when you've been in a job for quite a while to the value that you bring. You know, your title, you know, your salary. But, you know, you don't really always see your value because you're part of a team and many people are involved. So you don't always feel you can take credit.
Right.
But to me, you know, I've always said this, your career, I don't see jobs as an isolated incident. I see it as your career.
A continuum.
And, right. And that each job is part of your career. So, you know, you should always be working on your career. Where's the end game? You know, what does that mean? I think when you get really cozy at a job, I mean, it's okay at certain times in your life. You may have small children or you may have ill parents. I mean, there may be times in your life when your job is really just serving a purpose, which is the paycheck, and you do what you have to, you know, you do what you, as much as you want to do. But then there are other times when you have to, you know, treat your job as, is this where my career is going? And how can I get known in my industry so that my next job will just fall in my lap?
And also you have to go from reaction to creation, right? You have to go from, because usually if you're in a job that you don't like anymore, you can recite perfectly everything you don't like about it. But it can be very challenging to state what you do like and what you want going forward, right? So I have a client right now, actually, who said, was able to say, I want to build something. And before that, he could only tell me what he didn't want to do. So you have to, that's another piece of the work, is you have to go from reacting and responding, which is just whatever the company passes your way, how do you like it or not like it, or complaining about how your job's changed and you don't care for the new position, to really thinking creatively. What do I want to create here? What kind of position would be appealing to me? What are the challenges that I'm excited about doing? And again, fear can come up that no one would take a bet on me for doing these things.
Right.
So you have to get out there.
Yeah. I hope whenever I work with a client about making this change, I try to get them to stay on that path. You know, keep posting articles, keep going to your industry trade shows, keep, you know, networking as if you're always looking for a job. I mean, I know very successful people that never have to job search. The jobs come to them because they're known.
But I also think what you're pointing to is that they also pursue their interests within their field. So they go to the conference where they can have a voice, maybe be a speaker, maybe be on a panel, or definitely network with like-minded professionals. And then they're seen in that light as someone who others may want to work with in a different setting, you know?
Right.
And we actually had a person, I remember at one point we worked for an IVF group. And one of those individuals who always had a great sense of humor and was a wonderful speaker, she literally went to a few conferences and was plucked from one of them by another medical establishment.
Right, for a much higher position. That's my point, is that if you are always networking, and, you know, you don't always have to love your job to network, but you know, you like your industry. You have to like your industry. Earlier this week, we talked about if you don't like your industry and you're going to shift out. But if you like your industry, you should participate in it and get involved and meet people outside of your current job so that you are networking. And you'll know when there's opportunities.
Yes, you'll hear about them.
So, all right, so go back to the original, which is why do people
resist taking action?
Yeah, when they want to leave.
It really goes back to fear,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it's fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of self-esteem, not proving yourself right, not being liked.
Yeah, and I mean, that can come in so many different disguises, right? It's not convenient. The kids are sick. I don't feel like it. I don't have the energy. I have this emergency. I mean, if you notice that there's always a crisis that's supposedly preventing you from taking any actions on your behalf, I would stop and and think about, is it really all about these crises, or am I using these to stop myself?
Yeah, it takes some self-discipline, because you do have to put a couple of hours, at least 2 hours a day into it, maybe an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening, of job searching and sending emails out and you know, calling contacts that you've done business with before. You know, it definitely takes some time. It's not a full-time job to look for a job.
No.
It's part-time. And you do have to put the effort in, whether it's getting the resume up, cleaning up your LinkedIn, you know, everything that goes with it, just meeting with ex-bosses, see if they know of somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, all of that, getting your references in order, all of that takes time. And if you don't give yourself the time, then you have no one else to blame, because only you can make that time.
Well, again, and I think actually even if you do 15 minutes every morning,
something
will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the consistency that's difficult. And especially, it's funny, I have a couple of clients who work for not-for-profits, and therefore they're very other-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And two things happen there. On the one hand, they don't want to abandon their staff. You know, they feel like they're
right, I've heard that,
betraying them if they go to greener pastures. But the other part is that they'll always let someone else's emergencies prevent them from taking actions on their own behalf.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, they'll put other people's needs in front of their own.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up 2 years later, 3 years later, and you're in the same place.
Yeah.
You know, whose fault was that?
Well, and you'll notice that you're feeling a good amount of resentment, too.
I would imagine that comes along with the picture.
It comes with the territory. It does.
Yeah. Have you ever done that? Procrastinate? You haven't procrastinated.
Sure.
Yeah?
Well, I'm in school right now. I've procrastinated quite a few times on assignments that I then have to hurry up and finish. But no, in terms of work, and I think we've actually both been very lucky this way, I've always felt very guided and very motivated when I wanted to make a change to take those actions.
Yeah. And I mean, I learned, I don't know how, but I learned early on that if you are active in your industry, people seek you out.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I just remember once I was, you know, at a meeting and I said something about, I don't know, about my career or something that I loved working really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And within 15 minutes, they were on the phone calling me and say, were you saying you're looking to leave? Because we would take you. And I said, I don't remember saying anything like that.
Yeah.
What are you offering? I mean, I didn't like what they were offering and I didn't really like them. But but that, I think if you are out there, people are going to offer you opportunities.
Yeah.
Right.
But you have to do that for yourself.
Right.
Be willing to get out and...
Yeah. And I'm an extrovert. I understand that. So that's not hard for me.
Right.
And I know introverts, it is much harder.
Well, there's where it's important, I find, with introverts, that it has to be in integrity with who they are.
Of course. And, well, extroverts are not out of integrity.
No, but what I'm saying is to take an action of any kind has to be with an interest that they truly care about. I'm not saying extroverts don't do that. I'm saying extroverts who might be more willing to go to events where it's just about finding out who's there and, you know, what being interested in what they're doing. For an introvert, it's usually there needs to be an intention that's connected with the material that's being discussed.
I just want to say something because I've been a born extrovert. Maybe I wasn't born. I may try at the beginning.
Straight out the womb.
Yeah. Here she comes out.
Here's my business card.
No, actually, there's a picture of Kathy as a baby with a phone.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, my God.
I guess the photographer just put phones by babies' heads.
Yeah.
I don't love doing it.
Yeah.
As an extrovert, I don't love going to networking events and having to, you know, have fake conversations.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I try to find a way to go to them also where it's more comfortable. I'll go with a friend and probably don't do everything I could do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I may ask someone to introduce me to people, but there's something I know I'll be, you know, it's like going to the gym. I'll feel better after.
That's right.
Mm.
Yeah.
So
better than avoiding, for sure.
Well, right. I have no one to blame if I avoid but myself. And that guilt for me is worse than the fear of going, which from other people I've heard that the fear of going is greater than the guilt.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where I mean that to have, and it could be as simple as that you've got a job at the event. And
so you have a
role of some kind.
Right.
And, you know, many places will take volunteers who will be greeters or do any kind of thing that's helpful to moving the event along.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can be a helpful way just to get those wheels turning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when I spoke to the London Stock Exchange, you guys came, and there was this lovely woman working the event, and she said, I can never go to these things, but I really wanted to hear this lecture,
because
it was about networking. Mm-hmm. And so I volunteered. I don't remember, what was her job? She was...
I don't remember.
Remember signing people in or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was so adorable. It took a lot for her to get there.
Right.
Yeah.
So I called her out so that everybody...
Here's a networker right here. Right.
For instance, so-and-so here. She didn't want to come, but here she is. Uh-huh. And I hope people talk to her because of that.
Yeah.
So,
just
I mean,
really
go
interesting
with... Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
No matter how miserable people are, they still won't. And I think also in part of that being creatures of habit.
Yes.
Getting stuck in something that's comfortable.
That's right.
And secure, and then no matter how... Upset.
Well, there's a familiar.
They just stay.
That's right, Logan. I always think that there's a familiar way for people to be uncomfortable.
Right.
And so, if you are in an environment where it's uncomfortable, but you know it,
mm-hmm.
you know that way of feeling resentful or being angry or being disappointed or you know watching the clock tick away. That in some bizarre way feels more secure
mm-hmm.
than going for something wonderful that you don't know.
Right. Right.
So, and usually new behavior that's good for you feels intensely awkward at the onset.
Oh, yeah.
And then, but old familiar behavior that's not good for you feels
mm-hmm.
very cozy
mm-hmm.
at the onset.
Right.
So,
right.
You've got to experience, if you're uncomfortable, you're on the right track.
Exactly. Mm. You have to be willing to just push yourself to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
is that something you tell your clients? Like, hey, this is something that might make you feel a little weird or a little awkward, but.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they usually tell me before I get to tell them how they, you know,
right.
don't like that. And what I try to do is find things that are not going to be awkward. You know, meet one-on-one with people. You don't
yes.
have to go to a networking
yep.
event.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can reach out and just have coffee with somebody or just ask for an informational interview. There
right.
are ways to get invited, you know, to things where it is safe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care what steps you take, safe or or scary, as long as you're taking steps.
Mm. Yeah.
And then you get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sometimes you have to break it down even more. Like, what's the scariest thing about reaching out to this person? What are you afraid they're going to say? Or what's the scary thing about meeting with this person? You
mm-hmm.
know, many people feel that they don't know what they would say or
mm-hmm.
that they don't have anything interesting to offer
mm-hmm.
or that no one's going to want to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've experienced that.
Yeah, all of that. And mm-hmm. I try to help them come up with a script. We try to prepare for each conversation and what are the things that you want to say about yourself and what are the questions you want to ask. You can ask, stimulate the conversation that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I usually help people have a bunch of points
mm-hmm.
of questions they want to ask and things that they want to make sure the person learns about them. And, you know, there's a whole exercise of writing down, you know, all of your successes, all of the things that, starting even from childhood, the things that you feel very proud of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you weave those in as examples of what you've done. And
mm-hmm.
you always have to remind yourself before you go on any of these meetings that you're a winner, that you've had these successes. You have to read that list
mm-hmm.
to yourself because sometimes, you know, you go in the middle of the day and maybe work wasn't all that good and you don't feel
right.
that good about
right.
yourself, you
yeah.
know, and that's a hard one. You do have to lift yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, part of what I think is great in all the things you're describing, and I encourage the same, is preparing,
yeah.
being prepared. So preparing yourself emotionally, psychically, being ready with your script,
mm-hmm.
being ready with your questions. And honestly, the thing that's most interesting to me is that, you know, we're always afraid that someone's going to be kind of beaming in on us. And really,
mm-hmm.
most people are so much more interested in their own story.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go and start interviewing someone about what they're doing and then interweave your accomplishments, it's usually a pretty seamless transaction.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you take an interest in the other person, they'll be interested in you. But if you just go in and make it all about you, it's right. not as interesting.
Okay, so we're going to wrap this up here. We're talking about the understanding why it's so hard to take actions to leave a job that you know you want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying that basically it's fear-based. If you're having a hard time taking actions, you probably have a lot of fear. You may like the security of your job. You may like some of even the bad habits you've developed working at your job. You may not think anyone really wants you.
Yeah.
And you may not be able to envision a better job for yourself. So all those things make it difficult to take action. Given that, however, especially Ms. Elster is encouraging us to take actions anyway, every day, small actions. I'm saying as little as 15 minutes a day, reaching out to people. If you're introverted or more shy person, one-on-one meetings are fine. It's about taking the action, putting yourself in new places. And if you get seen, then you can create opportunities for yourself.
And you don't have to let's say you don't find what you want, that's fine. Or if you go on interviews and you don't like the jobs, that's okay. Mm-hmm. But you owe it to yourself.
It's a lot like dating.
Oh, God. Here she goes.
We were going to wrap it up, but now we're starting all over again.
No, we'll wrap it up. Join us next time.
Let's leave it at that.
Join us next time for another My Crazy Office Overtime.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.